Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, accompanied by the one, the only, the running red himself.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even get into that in the college football.
We don't need to because we're going to be here all year.
Rashawn Taylor across the foam marble table. Jordan Schultz across the glass. We didn't get into it in the last hour, but there's a handful of undefeated teams that we have never seen this late in the season be undefeated at the same time. Indiana, 5-0 for the first time since like 1967. Kurt Cignetti's gotten the Hoosiers rolling.
How crazy is that your school, your program's never won five games in a row?
Well, just to, start the season, yeah.
Just, that's what I'm saying. That's crazy, yeah. Like, since the 60s. Like, that's insane.
Rutgers undefeated after their win against Washington to start Washington's Big Ten stint. They win 21-18 on Friday. And also, I believe, Army and Navy, both undefeated to start the season, first time since like 1946 or something like that. They're coming off of a high. They're coming off of a big World War II victory. They come back home and they're ready to bust some ass on the football field.
That's great.
They got momentum on their side.
No, and just imagine how patriotic of a game it would be if both Army and Navy are undefeated when they play each other.
Yeah, that'd be, dude.
That's going to be crazy.
Be a great. Great.
I think everybody would have to watch that game. That's a primetime game if that happens.
And then, of course, your running Rebs, UNLV, especially after the week they just had with
amid controversy, it don't matter.
UNLV undefeated, maybe getting a top 25 nod.
You know what? The disrespect is real, though. Like, this happens on college football, too. When I was playing the game, obviously starting my road to glory with UNLV, we went like 13-0 and still were unranked. I'm like, this is
the
crap.
Disrespect.
This is crap. And so to watch these guys sit here at 4-0 and be not even close to the rankings is disappointing. Come on, top 25.
Well, I will say that I don't know if UNLV is going to get the nod. The only team in the 20s to lose yesterday was Oklahoma State, getting boat raced by Kansas State. So as far as, odd team looking out.
Indiana also 5-0 now, and they are, I believe, right below Boise State at 26th or 27th. So they're probably going to go.
Indiana's probably going to get the nod. Yeah.
They would smack Indiana.
I don't know about that.
They would smack Indiana, bro.
In the AP top 25, Washington State was 26th. Indiana was 27th. So Indiana probably going to get that bump. But UNLV, they got the 29th most votes, so they're right there, baby.
Be right there.
They are right there, licking their chops.
We're coming. Playoff or bust, baby.
Dude, that would be hilarious.
It's going to happen.
All right, NFL, let's go.
I'm with it.
You want some music?
Yes. Get me horned up with the bells.
Horny.
6 to noon, right away.
Wouldn't that suck if your nickname was Horny, by the way? Like Jeff Hornacek, former NBA player, coach. His nickname was literally, and they said it on the broadcast all the time, Horny with the three. Just like, stop, stop.
And those little shorts they used to wear.
Oh my. Hey, Horny in the little shorts.
Yeah.
Is that a cup, or is he just excited?
Well, he's horny.
All right, from the both of you, I want to know, biggest surprises, biggest disappointments to start this NFL season?
I'll let you start, Jordan.
What
a nice guy.
Nice. I'm like that.
What a gem.
Time to time.
I appreciate you. I would say that I didn't expect the 49ers to start 1-2 despite dealing with a couple of injuries. I'm not saying that like I expect them not to make the playoffs. I still think they will. They're probably going to end up at like 10-7, 11-6. That division is so weak. The Seahawks do lead the NL West. Not NL, excuse me, the NFC West, I'm thinking baseball, with a 3-0 record. All the other teams are 1-2. So that division's pretty much wide open. A little bit of a surprise, though, that San Francisco losing two of those games. I do think Brock Purdy is good. I think he should be paid, and I'm kind of sick of people questioning him. As far as my biggest disappointment so far, got to go with the Ravens. You wonder, of course, one of their losses was like by a toe, right? Isaiah Likely, if he would have been in the end zone, then they would have won that first regular season game. But they do sit at 1-2 at this point and are basically playing uphill already against the Bills. I did not think Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, was going to be 1-2 to start this year. And with Derrick Henry, like, come on. I don't think anybody expected this to be the start for the Ravens this season.
And so, their one win, they almost gave it up at the end to my Cowboys.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good point, too.
Which is a classic Cowboys game. Get blown out early, come back, give the fans some faith that you think is going to that they think they might win this. They did that twice against the 49ers in the playoffs, and then they end up still losing. I'm surprised they didn't line up Zeke at center to end that game.
Yeah, have him snap the ball, just sack
him.
Yeah, but Baltimore not looking as good as they should. However, I do want to just point out, that I just named both teams a 1-2 team as one that was disappointing and then one that wasn't so disappointing. So I'm definitely looking at these guys like, hey, both of them will be in the playoffs at some point. I don't see them just wrecking their seasons, but not such a great start, that's for sure.
Rashad. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment to start this NFL season.
Biggest surprise of the season is the Minnesota Vikings, in my opinion.
You know, blow the horn.
Man, three up, three down, right? You know, so you start the season, you know, with a game that nobody's really sure about, you know, it can go either way, but then go out there and you beat up on, you know, a playoff team in San Francisco. You don't beat up on them, but you win the game. And then the next week you go out there and really beat up on a Texan squad that I think a lot of people are really, really high on this year with CJ Stroud and just getting in Stephon Diggs and everything. But really most impressed with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has been really kind of a whipping boy for the last, 5 years that he's been in the NFL. I was really, really high on Sam Darnold. Everybody was kind of like, why? And now I think all of a sudden, like, you're kind of seeing why. Now, maybe it's just early season. It's still warm outside type stuff. But, man, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's been sacked 8 times so far through the 3 games, but he did play San Francisco in one of those games, so they're going to get after you. So, for now, the biggest surprise for me is the Minnesota Vikings. The biggest disappointment, without being a homer, I mean, the Patriots aren't great. I would probably say the San Francisco 49ers as well, though. Like, this is a team that should be in the running for another Super Bowl, and so far the season, they start the season 1-2. Long season, there's still 14 more games to be played, but this is not the way you expect a team that just participated in the Super Bowl to be playing to start the year. They look slow. They look like they don't really understand where they're supposed to be at certain times, and which is really weird when you have a roster that has every all-pro name that you can think of, you know. So that's a little bit disappointing. Hopefully they're not able to figure it out. Hopefully this stays the trend for them for most of the year. But, you know, as a hater of this team, it's really kind of disappointing to see how slow they've been to start, I guess.
Since you took the Vikings with your biggest surprise, which I agree with you, last week I was high on the Texans covering. They did not only not cover, but just got absolutely blown out of the US Bank Stadium. Yeah. Just amazing performance by this Vikings defense last week. Got to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago, as the season starting, that this Steelers team is going to be 3-0. I mean, I remember before the season started, we did the whole, is this the year that Mike Tomlin finishes below 500?
Not this year.
Well, they'd have to go 5-9 the rest of the year for that to happen. They go up against the Colts today. They are favorites. It is in Indianapolis. Week one, I bet against the Steelers, -4 Falcons to cover that. Not only did the Falcons not cover that, but the Steelers won that straight up. And for some reason, I did not learn my lesson, because this is maybe a preview for who do you love in the upcoming minutes, because I think that this might be Colts' surprise game where they're able to cover their 2.5-point spread. But the Steelers, again, being 3-0, Justin Fields as the quarterback, simply crazy. Amazing. I cannot believe it. As far as biggest disappointment goes, I have to put it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I had them winning the division to start the year. They need to have a somewhat, like, if they lose against the Texans today, I get it. But they at least have to be competitive. Trevor Lawrence has to show that he's up for the challenge as far as being one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterbacks, not in that division, but the conference. He got paid. He needs to step up his play. He needs to be better. And after last week, I mean, this could be a letdown spot for the Texans as well. And where the Jags, it's like they get blown out last week against the Bills. They're down bad right now. They need a win. But the way that that game looked, it's like, of course they're going to lose to the Texans. I want to say right now that the line, the betting line for that game, it's getting bet down. They started as a, getting bet up. They started as a 3.5-point dog. They're now at 5.5 points. So people betting on this game are just loving the Texans to be able to cover and win this game comfortably. So, I mean, biggest disappointment is definitely the Jags and Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson and that entire team. That offense needs to
start
your
season. Yeah, that's definitely a.
The Titans are 0-3. We are not surprised by that.
No.
Will Levis, he does one insanely dumb thing a game. I wish that was a prop bet I could lay down on DraftKings. One dumb thing, one terrible decision by Will Levis per game. Can I get a 1.5? Betting on that as well.
I'm gonna take the over. I'm gonna take the over, man. And it, you know, you talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of has me thinking, man. I know we're against it. Who is the best coach in the league right now?
I mean, two of the best coaching jobs right now are Mike Tomlin and Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, they're obviously their teams are undefeated, but as far as coming into the season, expectations, especially at the quarterback position and what they've been able to do. I mean, Kevin O'Connell right now is looking like the quarterback whisperer. I mean, and now granted, you said Vikings and Sam Darnold. I want to take it with a grain of salt, because remember a few years ago when the Carolina Panthers had a great start to their season with Sam Darnold, and then they went and played Dallas, and then it was
all off.
Yeah, and then they end up having to draft Bryce Young, I'm pretty sure, the next year.
Yeah.
So again, we'll see how this plays out for the Vikings, but the one thing that the Vikings have is a nasty defense. That defense flies around. And them at home is a different animal.
Right.
That fan base, that stadium gets absolutely going for the Vikings at home, and they are scary to play there.
I don't think anybody wants to line up against the Vikings right now.
No.
They're playing some inspired football, which is super fun to watch.
I think they blitz more than any other team, or the second most blitzing team in the NFL are the Minnesota Vikings. Their defense is stout.
All right, let's take a look at some of the matchups here today in Week 4. And tomorrow as well, we get a doubleheader on Monday Night Football again.
Woo! Sorry, baby.
Usually I'm not happy about doubleheaders on Monday night, but dear God, there is one matchup that is infinitely better than the other. So it's probably a good thing that we got two options for Monday night.
Yeah, I'll take them. Either way, they're going to get watched. So we'll see.
Let's preview and take a look at some of the matchups. What games are you most excited for? You can text in 503-864-6326 on the Vancouver Ford text line to let us know as well. We get to that next, previewing this Week 4 Sunday matchups of the NFL season. Right now, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Just a little preview for Who Do You Love. I am absolutely loving the ticket that I just put in right now. All four of my bets on DraftKings. I am just licking my chops right now. I cannot wait.
I just put an anytime touchdown lottery pick in, so got like 10 picks on that one.
Y'all love losing y'all money, don't you?
What's a dollar?
So. Dude.
Yeah. It's a lottery pick. Yeah, it's for a dollar, but
four
I could.
Four quarters? It's parking somewhere?
Well, do you even take.
Four more quarters and I get a pack of Swishers.
Do you even take quarters out of your.
Swishers are $2 now?
Oh, they're like $2.40, $2.50 now.
F that. 79 cents, please.
Gross.
Does anybody still
give me
use
a white owl.
Quarters for parking? I don't think the meters even take them anymore.
Yes, they do. Totally take change still.
Parking kitty, man.
Yeah.
Parking kitty app.
What was I going to say? Oh, I told Rashad this earlier. I think it was during the break, but commentator curse. From Al Michaels earlier this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I could not believe it. I was so pissed. I took the Cowboys covering five against the Giants. They're up five. I think it was 20-15 in the fourth quarter. Brandon Aubrey trots out for a 51-yard field goal. Now Michaels goes on there and he's like, well, there's some people that are going to enjoy this field goal, if you know what I mean.
Kermit the Frog was doing commentary?
Yes, dude, I'm telling you. And I think there's a Family Guy joke about this, but
yeah, Kermit the Frog here.
Listen to Al That's Michaels on a broadcast and tell me he does not sound like Kermit the Frog sometimes. Like, there's some times where he sounds normal. But then there's other times he
talks like Patrick Mahomes.
yes, yeah. Exactly. Imagine those three in a room: Patrick Mahomes, Al Michaels, and Kermit. Yeah, I would love. I'd pay to see that.
Pat Mahomes and Tony Gwynn, the whitest sounding black people of all time.
quite possibly, right there.
But yeah, Al Michaels, he jumps on the mic, and this is after Brandon Aubrey hit a 60-yard field goal earlier in the game, and he goes, some people are going to like this field goal by Aubrey, if you know what I mean. I'm like, yeah, me, because then the Cowboys go up eight, the Giants are not going to score a touchdown, and then I win my money. And then sure enough, Brandon Aubrey misses his first 50-yard field goal of his career. Cowboys win by five, and I get a push. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it, brother.
It's kind of fascinating to see how Michaels turn from like one of the most beloved football announcers ever into kind of curmudgeon-y old man. Stop.
He
talking
is hilarious.
About my bets.
I think it's funny. Michaels is hilarious.
Well, I still love him.
And also that game Thursday night, the Cowboys Giants game, absolutely atrocious. I mean,
did you watch it?
Yeah, of course I watched it.
Of course you did.
But dude, I lost money on Dak, and I'm mad about it.
But oh my God, that first half, I was like, man, I literally could have taken a nap and probably still had a better time. Like, penalties galore. Al was hilarious, too, and because Kirk Herbstreit, I think, said something. He's like, gosh, I think that's like penalty number 9 on the Cowboys. He's like, I think it's 147 for the game so far.
Could like, your Cowboys learn how to freaking score, by the way?
Oh, dude, Al gave zero Fs in that game, like some of the things he was saying.
You can tell he did not want to be at that game. I only watched a little bit of it, but it's like, man, this is nobody wants to watch the Giants play. Let's just go ahead and put that out there. The Giants, watching the Giants play football is like watching your parents like make out.
I think they're using that at Guantanamo Bay or something like that, you know, like for terrorists, you know, as a like a sort of a torture technique. They just throw on Daniel Jones and Giants game tape, and they're just like, now, okay, I can't take any more. Please, I'll admit to it.
The only good thing about watching New York is watching Malik Nabers. Like, try to get him the ball as much as possible, and then just keep the camera on Malik Nabers, like my player in college football or NFL or something.
All right, we got some NFL games. Which game is getting you most horned up, getting you worked up? Because they're what I love about the NFL is that you can make a case for just about every game and why it's important to watch, why you care about it. But as far as like, let's go one per time slot. I want one game in the 10 a.m. And then one game in the 1 p.m. as far as games that are getting you excited. In the 10 a.m. slot, this Vikings-Packers game.
Dang it, Joe.
I am very intrigued to see what happens. Jordan Love will be playing. He's going to be wearing a brace. This is in Lambeau. The Vikings are 3-0. As we said, nobody expecting that. The Packers 2-1. Probably the best team. Maybe not the best team in the division. Maybe second best, but we'll see as the season plays out. Very intrigued to see what happens there. That spread has closed in more and more. I want to say that the Vikings started off as like a 4.5-point dog to start the week. They are now only 2.5-point dogs to start this game. So the money has been coming in on the Vikings to cover. God, I just had it up here in a second. Yeah, 4.5. They started as a 4.5-point underdog, and they're now at 2.5 there. But yeah, Vikings-Packers in that 10 a.m. game. Definitely keeping my eyes on that.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it, because that was also the game I was looking at. So I guess just to be different, I'll choose another one. That'd be Philadelphia visiting Tampa Bay.
Very intriguing. Rematch
of the playoff game. That's the big point. And, you know, Tampa coming off a loss last week. Philly coming off a big win against a team that, you know, my Saints, who were just kind of rolling, you know, for a little bit. And I think the Saints are also one of those teams I'm a little bit surprised with to start the season, because they almost had
the Eagles last week.
And they almost had it, you know, but unfortunately didn't. But Baker Mayfield last year was a top 10 quarterback. don't care what anybody says. And so far this year, he's got this team at 2-1. He can be somebody that really changes the way people feel about him and the way people see him as a leader, as a quarterback. So I think Philly is a 1-point favorite in this game. So yep. That lets you know how slim the margin is or how, you know, evenly matched these teams are. Yes, I like that Tampa Bay hosting Philadelphia today.
Give me the Rams at Bears, 10 a.m. I want to see if Caleb Williams can actually not throw picks on the run, looking like just a total idiot running out of the pocket.
Very intriguing, too, because the Bears are a 3-point favorite in
that
game.
They are.
And then I just get the notification on my phone from Bleacher Report, Jay Glazer reporting that Caleb Williams among players to meet with Shane Waldron to express frustration on the offense. Listen, I don't know if there's a whole lot Shane Waldron can do when the offensive line is leaking like a sieve. So.
Yeah, and I don't know how Caleb Williams has the authority to go to Shane Waldron 3 games into his career and say, hey, I've got a problem with the offense.
Well, now all of a sudden, Justin Fields is in one spot 3-0 and playing pretty good football at 3-0. Like, how much of that was his fault and how much of that was on the offensive line?
So I was saying in the offseason, again, there's still a lot of season left to determine that. But again, I was saying, I was like, there's a lot more problems with this Chicago Bears offense than just the quarterback.
Maybe it's Eberflus.
It could be sexy bearded Eberflus. You
know, well, I would say them getting rid of Luke Getsy was a amazing decision, because we can see now with Getsy at the Oakland Raiders and that offense how that looks. That was the right decision there. But 1 p.m. slot, there is basically one game, two games, but again, we'll see how it progresses. I mean, Chiefs Chargers are always intriguing, especially with Herbert, but he's got that bum ankle, bum foot. We'll see what happens throughout that game. I'm hoping he's playing. I think I haven't seen the reports if it's been official that he is active for today's game. Would love to see him out there. But that Commanders Cardinals game, that is the most intriguing 1 o'clock game to me.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
The
Commanders, it is.
And Cardinals are the most interesting game in the second half of the day.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals, they have looked they've looked pretty good to start the year. I know they lost to the Bills, but they were with them the entire way, blowing out the Rams like they did in week two, and then just barely escaping the with a loss against the Lions. I mean, that was a tough game at home last week. But they've looked pretty decent. I would love to see what this game looks like today with the Commanders, especially the Commanders coming off of a big win against the Bengals. Take the over. I will tell everyone to do that. Take the over 48.5 in that one. There's going to be points. Commanders offense, or excuse me, defense is terrible. And I expect the Cardinals and Commanders both to score some points. So that's the game in the 1 o'clock that is getting me excited there.
Baltimore and Buffalo in one at the 1 o'clock game, you know,
that's Sunday night football.
Sunday night. Yeah. So,
which, you know, awesome game for Sunday night.
So the second half of the day, but yeah, Baltimore, they had a good win. Sorry, Joe, last week. And a couple wins, like every game they've played, they've been in towards the end. Obviously, the foot thing, week one. So, you know, but Baltimore could very well be sitting here 3-0, but they haven't been able to close a lot of times. I think this is a time for them to really be able to take advantage at home on Sunday night. This is going to be a huge game. I like Baltimore to win. They're already favored by 2.5. I think I will take Baltimore to win this game.
And then our Monday night matchups, we'll just run through them real quick. Again, last week I was saying how I was pissed, how I don't like doubleheaders on Monday night. I just want one game to consume just so I can focus on that. Tomorrow we got Titans-Dolphins, and the Dolphins are going to actually start Tyler Huntley at quarterback against the Titans tomorrow. But
Tua's brain is scrambled eggs?
Honestly, I would take Tua's brain at this point over Skylar Thompson at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, roll Tua out there in a wheelchair.
No, don't do that. Well, call Tom Brady.
Yeah. I mean,
let's call Tom Brady.
Play? Broadcasting isn't going awesome.
I would rather take Tom Brady than Skylar Thompson at this
Brock
point.
Brock Osweiler, he doing anything right now?
But we would only have to watch 45 minutes of the Titans-Dolphins game, because thank God Seahawks-Lions kick off at 5:15, and that matchup is always a banger between the Seahawks and Lions. They've had some great games the last few years.
I'm pretty sure that the moment that Brian Callahan told Will Levis after he basically just on his knees threw that pick a couple of weeks ago, saying, you've got to be better than that. What the F are you doing? You've got to be better than that. I'm pretty sure that that moment will be cemented into my head for all time. The lip reading was so easy that there, and it was just glorious, and that everybody got to see it.
And I don't want to do this. I know we're breaking, but we got it. 3-0 for the Seahawks. Like, come on, man. Who expected them to be at this spot right now at the top of the NFC West?
Nobody. Not I.
Nobody.
Not I.
Weak division, though. Weak division.
And playing the Patriots and the Broncos, that will definitely help. That will help. All right, let's take a break and then lose some money on the next segment. Well, I'm not going to lose money. I am determined. I am loving my betting ticket today. We're going undefeated. Who do you love next? But first, Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center up. All right. Let's win some money, shall we? Did you guys do this last week or no?
We did. Do you remember the picks last week, Jordan? Did you write them down? I wrote them down.
I don't. Yeah, I was.
I wrote them down, so. But I didn't keep them.
I mean, as soon as the show was over, Kobe right into the garbage can over here. Like, I thought that, you know, we had them. We can always go back and listen.
I was going to say, we'll check the tape. And then what I can do is I'll be an honorable man and I'll go through my NFL bets last Sunday.
Okay.
Because I did have a parlay that I know didn't hit, but I'll go through my single bets from last Sunday, and I will create a three-game selection of what I did last week, and I will apply that to last week's Who Do You Love? Because I think I even said, I was like, I'll text you guys some picks, or I think I said it to Jordan earlier in the week. I was like, I'll send you some picks for Who Do You Love, and I never got around to it. So
that happens.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Okay, last week I took Texans to cover, wrong. Rams to cover, which by the skin of their teeth at the very end of that game against the 49ers. Oh, my God. And then I took the Seahawks to cover against the Dolphins, which definitely hit there as well. So not bad. But, yeah, the parlay did not go as well.
Players mess up, bro.
This week, what I am going with. I saw on the TV a little bit ago what the weather situation is like right now in New York. The Denver Broncos and New York Jets are playing, and that is going to hit the under.
It's
going to
be nasty.
They're not going to be able to throw the ball. It is a torrential downpour. It is ugly. The Broncos had a great week last week. Perfect spot for a letdown here after a big upset against the Buccaneers. The Jets' defense is nasty. And their offense, it's not like their offense is world beaters this year either. The Jets, I don't think they've yet to score over 30 points in a single game. I think the most they've scored is like 24. And that was the game against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. So I'm taking the under in the Jets Broncos this week of 39.5.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville visiting Houston today, one of the 10 a.m. games. Houston is favored by 5.5 in that game. I think that sounds about right, considering where Jacksonville, you know, is.
Got bet up.
Yeah, I mean.
So people are with you.
Okay. So basically Jacksonville sucks, and they haven't scored over 20 in any of the three games they played thus far. The over-under for this game is, 44.5? I think I'm taking the under just because I don't really feel that you have to really beat Jacksonville by a lot to be able to beat them. So I'm taking the under in that game.
Texans, Jags, under 44.5. That's what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing.
All right. Jordan.
Vegas obviously knows something I don't hear, because I think this Minnesota-Green Bay line is pretty redonkulous at only 2.5 in Minnesota. Even though they're on the road, I get that, and road teams usually aren't favored, so they are 2.5-point underdogs. But, said it last hour, they blitz just about as much or as much as any other team in the NFL. Their defense is tough against a quarterback in a boot today. I'm not saying Jordan Love's not good, but is he going to be 100%? Absolutely not. They're bringing him back way sooner than they thought that they would get him. I do think Minnesota covers on the road today, plus 2.5.
All right.
But that's a trap. Like, Vegas knows something I don't hear, and I'm a little upset, like, putting this down, because, like, it's going to go the other way, and I'm going to see why in about 10 minutes.
Well, and that's why I am going Packers minus 2.5.
Yeah.
I feel like that it's one of those that, yes, the Vikings have looked amazing to start the year. Their defense is really good, but they are not at home. Again, I feel like it's been a great start for them, but the Packers are the better team. While they will have Jordan Love back, I think they're going to be very run heavy.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to try and dominate the line of scrimmage. And I feel like this is where the Packers finally, or the Vikings, get their first loss. And the Packers, again, at home in Lambeau, showing them who the better team is. So I will take Packers minus 2.5, because, yeah, that's gotten bet down. That opened up at 4.5, I want to say, earlier in the week. So getting them at 2.5, tasty. I'll take that.
I guess I'm going to talk about a game we talked about a little earlier, Joe, and that's the Bears hosting the Rams today. The Bears are a 3-point favorite in that game. The Rams have been in most of their games, they've been close games, right? They had a 3-point loss. Let me look at their schedule.
The win last week went down to the wire.
3-point win last week against the 49ers team. They had a big loss against the Cardinals, and then they lost by 6 against the Lions. I think you've got a Bears team that, you know, they've got some things going on, but last week they were finally able to figure out how to score in this league. I think being a 3-point favorite at home in Chicago, I like that. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears, you know, that favorite by 3 today.
Bears covering the 3, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking that.
That is one of those weird lines where, kind of like what Jordan says, it's like, what does Vegas know that we don't? Because, I mean, I understand the Rams are injured, but they still have McVay and Stafford, and I feel like that's always going to keep them in games. But, with the Bears' offense, how they look. Now, the Bears' defense, very good.
Very good.
So, offense, again,
can't figure it out.
That's where I'm wondering, one of those, if this is just a weird game where the Bears win like 17-10 and they have multiple turnovers and like a defensive touchdown or something like that. Kind of like their week one game against the Titans. Very odd line in that one. Jordan, pick number 2.
This is another risky pick right here, but the good old Arizona Cardinals and Washington Commanders. I'm looking at the total. It's very high, 48.5, but I'm assuming it's so high because you're looking at two, you know, run-first quarterbacks that have some wide receiver weapons to take advantage of in Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray. The Cardinals' defense is not that great. I think they're like 24th or 25th in all of the NFL in defensive rankings. But Jaden Daniels is a rookie, right? I've seen good from him and I've seen bad from him. So I feel like there's a good chance today that the score doesn't even hit 40. I feel like both teams are going to have to play peak ball for that to happen. So I say under 48.5 Washington and Arizona today. That's a 1 o'clock game.
Under 48.5 Commanders and Cardinals. All right. The last one for me, deep cut. I'm going to deep cut. Seeing reports earlier in this week that the Bears are looking to make maybe a possible change at running back because DeAndre Swift is not even averaging 2 yards per run this season. Understandably, as I said earlier in the show, the Bears' offensive line is absolutely trash, but they're going to give Roschon Johnson an extended look today. And I see on the books that he is 31.5 rushing yards is his prop bet. So I'm going to take Roschon Johnson over 31.5. Ooh. Deep cut on the album.
Oh, man. Well, just for betting's sake, I'm going to go ahead and go with the New England Patriots visiting the San Francisco 49ers today. 49ers are favorite at 10 points, or a 10-point favorite. I'm definitely taking San Francisco needs a get-right game. These last couple of games, while they haven't lost by a lot, the Patriots have scored a total of 33 points in the last 3 games that they've played. San Francisco is capable of scoring a whole bunch of points.
They have a chance of scoring 33 in this game alone.
They have just today by itself. And so the line is, again, San Francisco favored by 10. I think they're probably going to win by a little bit more than 10 today.
Taking 49ers minus 10.
I am, yeah.
I love it. Love the balls.
Considering that the Jets ran all over them last week, I think San Francisco can pretty much have their way with this team.
And Jordan, last one to wrap it up.
I like the odds on this one. Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown is at minus 140. I think minus 135 to minus 145 most books is what I'm seeing in the Eagles-Tampa Bay game in just about 10 minutes. I think Saquon is like one of the only guys that can consistently score for Philadelphia. It's like they went away from the tush push, so they're just handing it off to Saquon now. So Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown today.
And I'll shout out the Vancouver Ford texter. 4-leg parlay. Minnesota covering the 2.5. New Orleans covering the 2.5. Miami, Tennessee under 36.5. And Washington, Arizona over 50. I love all of that except the Minnesota plus 2.5 because I have the complete opposite. So I love 3 out of 4 of those bets. So for your sake of winning money, I hope it happens. But at the same time, I hope it does not. All right, we wrap the show up next here, Football Sunday. And we are one day away, folks. And you'll know what I mean next here. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, that does it for this show. I said that we are one day away. We're actually 2 days away because tomorrow actually is media day for the Portland Trailblazers, and training camp starts on Tuesday.
Will Robert Williams be here or will he not? We'll see.
According to one Danny Meringue, absolutely crushing it right now at training camp. Over under 22.5 wins for the Portland Trailblazers. I know we're a couple weeks away from the start, but what are we doing?
Over.
Over.
For the sake of Cooper Flagg, please under. Please under. Best chance possible, all right? For the love of God.
We got a big white guy.
We need another big white guy.
Yeah, we got one of those.
We need two. All right, that'll do it for this Football Sunday. Everybody go win some money. Enjoy the 10 a.m., 1 a.m., 1 p.m. games, all the NFL games, and we will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. this time. Thank God. For Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My gosh. Jordan
Schultz, thank you as always. I'm Joe Fisher. Have a great Sunday afternoon. Peace.